can light that star in San Marcos. It's a Bobcat winner and a repeat Sunbelt Conference championship for the Bobcats.
Right down the middle, struck him out. As the Bobcats have knocked off the top-ranked team of the country in their house.
And welcome to another episode of the State Sub Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Freeman. Last week, we had a really entertaining podcast with Texas State softball star Keely Williams, secondary transfer from Texas A&M. We were talking to her shortly after the big win over Texas Tech. And right now, the Bobcats are getting ready for a huge home series against Coastal Carolina. Certainly in the hunt right now for an at-large bid as well. So looking forward to some big things for Bobcat softball this week. Wasn't long ago that we visited with Rashawn Galloway, and the Bobcat baseball team is going to Coastal Carolina this weekend. We've also visited with DJ Hall, Texas State's star freshman basketball player from this past season, talking about his return to the program this coming year, Texas State's first in the Pac-12 and what will be a basketball-heavy conference. But joining us in the podcast this week, we're going to track and field now with long jumper Gio Walker, junior out of Temple, Texas, went to Lake Belton High School and doing some great things in the long jump. In fact, he won the long jump title at the recent Bobcat Invitational with a personal best of 7.79 meters, finished fifth at the Sunbelt Indoor Championships earlier in this calendar year, also finished in a tie for second at the long jump and the Mount SAC relays as well. So Gio Walker is our guest, comes on to the podcast now. Gio, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing good, Gio, and thanks for joining us here on the podcast. So I'll start with your accomplishments so far, kind of rattle through them, what you've done just, you know, in the last few months. Of course, your career extends beyond that. So how have things gone for you this year, and what stood out the most for you in your career at Texas State?
It's been a really good year so far. Mainly my main focus right now is just getting consistent with my jumps. What stood out was mainly how welcome I feel at Texas State, how all the coaches, how my my teammates just look up to me right now.
Speaking of your teammates, it's a really talented group, you know, of both track competitors and field competitors. And, you know, one of your teammates, Easton Hammond, went to the same high school as you did, Lake Belton. How far back did the two of you go?
My man, Eham, I've grown up with him since high school, competed against him in basketball, middle school, track, long, great friend right there.
So how special was it then for the two of you to, you know, you compete with and against each other growing up in high school in that same Lake Belton area, to now be teammates here at Texas State together?
It's an amazing experience because whenever he does good, I do good. That's how our relationship goes. So it's just amazing for him to be here.
So Gio, I talked about what you did at the indoor championships this year. You finished in fifth place in the long jump. But apparently you competed there. You got a battle through injury to do it, hurting your ankle at one of the indoor events earlier on in the calendar year in College Station. Take me through that.
It was just good off season and then tragedy. First attempt, felt really good moving on there. I posted about it on my story, my Instagram, and not thinking of anything of it, but I got a lot of support off of it. 5 million views off of Instagram. It's been just, I've dealt with injuries so much that I just get used to it, battle through it.
5 million views on your Insta. So first off, promote it for me, please. What's your Instagram handle?
The Gio Walker.
The Gio Walker. How many followers do you have?
Before I posted it, I was at like 700. Right now I'm at 1500.
Look at you, it's doubled a little bit there, than doubled for you. So how big, you know, is social media, you know, for you personally, for your teammates, for the sport right now?
For me, I try to stay off of it, avoid distractions, but it's become such a part of my life and what this sport has become that it's just the best thing to promote it, I think. I was like, it's just really helpful to get people like me out there to show what I can do and what others can do.
You know, I'm always so intrigued visiting with track and field athletes because the role that I have, you know, Texas State, all the sports that we cover on ESPN Plus, we did it once before, but we don't normally, that being track and field. So we don't get a chance to watch you guys compete a lot. So I never get the chance to visit and cover a lot of the athletes outside of these occasional podcasts with them. And one of the questions I normally have is that, you know, growing up, especially, you know, right now in the age of social media, everything's highlight driven. You'll have a lot of kids growing up that want to play basketball or football or baseball. You don't get a lot. The Olympics are once every 4 years. It's not on all the time. You don't see a ton of highlights in social media all the time about it. So I'm always interested as to what the inspiration was for the athletes to get into track and field because it's not this ultra popular sport among the masses. So for you, what inspired you to become a long jumper?
At first, I wanted to become a sprinter. I think everybody who starts off in track looks to Usain Bolt and just wants to be like him. I moved to jumping when I started I wanted to try it out. And then I just fell in love with high jump at first. And it just shifted towards long jump with me and Chris and my brother, actually. Just the sport itself was just really interesting to me.
And you know what's funny, too? You hear about multi-sport athletes all the time, especially, you know, in high school. You don't have a lot of athletes that get to the next level that only focus on one sport. And you'll have football players play baseball, football players play basketball. That's just a couple of examples there. But I believe that the one type of athlete that can play them all is a track athlete. So well-conditioned, so athletic in so many different ways. You could play pretty much any sport that you want, given your talent and your abilities. So for you, how many other sports did you grow up playing in?
I tried to play them all. I was a little league baseball player. I played soccer, played basketball, as I mentioned. I was thinking about moving towards football for college. And then that was about it. I tried to play them all.
So ultimately then, though, for you, as you did try and did play some of them all, why did you end up focusing on track and that becoming your path at the Division I level?
I think because of injuries and all of that I've had in my life, I was like, I want to just take a back seat and just focus on my track career instead of try to get hurt in football. I wasn't really good at basketball, so I was just, I think track was where my heart was.
Take me through your recruiting process a little bit. And, you know, ultimately, what was the deciding factor for you to come to Texas State?
That's a funny story because I wasn't really thinking about doing track in college. I was just like, I don't know where I'll go from this. But Easton had a visit with Coach K or had talks with Coach K. And he was like, hey, I have this friend who does track as well. Can he come along? And then I did my visit here, and I just fell in love with San Marcos. And ultimately, I just needed one call from Coach K to say I'm on the team, and I took it because I felt I was the best here.
So you kind of shortchanged a little bit your relationship with Eham, as you called him, Easton Ham, but he actually played an integral role, it sounds like, in you winding up with Texas State.
I would joke with him all the time. Another reason why I came to Texas State, I love the colors.
Fair enough. All right. I mean, maroon and gold do work pretty well together. You and I are both rocking it here in the podcast. You see it behind me in the pennant as well. You said that you fell in love with St. Marcos. What about San Marcos? Was it the city? Was it the campus? you know, exactly what sold you in on the city of St. Marcus?
It was a bit of everything. I loved the river. My cousin was down here. I always used to just visit. Then just the area, not being so far from home in Temple, but having that community feel like home. And then my teammates just helped me solidify it.
You know, everybody has a story. We're telling yours right now, and it's been great to kind of go through your journey to Texas State and what's happened for you since you've been here as a competitor. Things happen off the field as well. And for you, you had a bit of an accident, I'll call it. You know, last year you got hit by a car. Certainly there needs to be some more context there for our listeners. So if you could please share with us that story.
Well, same as this year, I had a really great off season, just preparing for that first meet. The day before, I wanted to get up early, go get some treatment. I usually ride a bike from 35 all the way to the stadium. Just didn't see it coming. They didn't see me. Then just got hit in the leg, rolled my ankle, and just that cut off my indoor season.
How traumatic was it for you at the time? I mean, I would imagine getting hit by a car is extremely scary. Might be one of the situations you see your life flash before your eyes type of thing. So for you in the moment, what was that like?
In the moment, I was scared because the way I got hit, it definitely could have been a whole lot worse. I wouldn't be here standing talking to you if it did, but after I got up, I joked with the person who hit me. I was like, I'm just trying to go to the stadium, get treatment. I was just trying to make some humor out of it because I can't deal with pain a lot. So laughing was the only way out of it.
Very admirable. I can relate to that as well. You know, humor seems to be the best medicine for situations like that from time to time. So how are you now with it? Is there any, if you're just going about your day and you know, walking to from the stadium, does it ever hit the back of your mind again, this may happen? Are you more aware of your surroundings? How does it impact you now?
Now I'm definitely more aware. I'm slowing down, looking in my head, turning around, trying to make sure I'm just aware. Mm-hmm. But I try to put it in the back of my mind and focus on where I'm trying to go. I was like, I know that was in the past, that was recent, but I have more life I can live. I got an opportunity to compete still.
So over the offseason as well, you were honored with the Heart of a Bobcat Award. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It was funny to say get that award because Jalen Allen, the Heart of a Bobcat, he was also struck by a car, and unfortunately, he lost his life. I joke about it, but I could have been in the same position. And that entire season, I was dealing with a lot of mental issues of should I quit? Should I not? Should I just redshirt? Should I just quit college as it is? But I had a lot of good people around me, Coach K, Seth, Aiden Hayes, Easton, that just made me fall in love with the sport again and try to just be better. And it got me to regionals last year. So I'm just trying to keep that momentum of staying in love with the sport itself and just progressing my career.
I'm sure for many of those in and around the program that have been so for a while now, that it was kind of, you know, a flashback and maybe traumatic in that sense, that it kind of revisited the Jalen Allen tragedy from a few years ago. Did anybody talk to you about that?
Not really. I heard about it when I was getting the award when he got hit. I haven't done my research on it, but it's just two similar situations and two different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm grateful, but I understand where I get the heart of a Bobcat.
Well, again, well deserved there for you, Gio. Kind of changing gears here a little bit, and no pun intended when I use that phrase. One of the things I found out about you is that you're a huge Formula One fan, F1 fan. Where does that come from?
I got into it early in high school. I'm a big Lewis Hamilton fan. And just fell in love with the speed. I'm also a fan of MotoGP. I always want my own motorcycle when I grow up. And it's just Tapong Dinkuru. He's another big fan, and we just go at it, and it just fuels my love for all sports, especially F1.
So there was the F1 movie that came out recently with Brad Pitt. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. I watched it in movies with the moving chair and all of it. And I remember watching it, and I don't even know how to say this. I remember watching the actual races when they actually did the filming and the recording. So it was just a fun experience watching the race from the movie's perspective when I was a watcher back then.
So I'm a huge sports movie guy, have been my entire life. And for me, I'm always judging, are they doing the sport justice? You know, is this look accurate? I mean, is that really how football players should throw the ball? Is that really what happens in a baseball game? That would never happen in basketball kind of thing in real life. How was the depiction of F1 in the movie? I have not seen it.
It's a really accurate movie. They did a really good job with how they train. Obviously, I'm not an F1 an athlete. I'm not a driver, so I don't know. But as a fan of it, it looks really accurate to how we see it every Sunday.
So the Circuit of Americas comes to Austin every year. Have you been?
I have not. I want to go with Tapong and just watch a race.
Is there anybody else besides Tapong, anybody else on your team that shares your enthusiasm for F1, or are you trying to get others to jump on board?
One person who I know is Joshua Taylor. Me and him, well, all three of us have our own drivers and all of that. He's a Max fan. Tapong's a Lewis fan. I was more a Yuki fan before he left. But, yeah, I think Josh and Aiden's getting in it a little bit more. But it's us. It's just mainly us three that I know about, at least.
Gotcha. One other thing before I let you go here, Gio. I mentioned at the top of the podcast, I had Keely Williams on last week. And it was a great interview, getting to know Keely a little bit. Again, a softball player that hails from Cibolo, not too far outside of St. Marcus. And we were talking about the fact that when it comes to the pregame music that plays in the stadium as everybody warms up, she's the one that picks it, but does make selections based on what her teammates would like to hear. And she said that she tries not to pick anything too old, anything before 2004. It made me very sad to hear that because I was 23 in 2004. So for you, what do you deem to be old? Like, what year, when it comes to, like, let's say your music taste, is too old for you?
I think growing up with my parents, they were born in the 70s. So I think
that's good because they're older than me.
Yeah, I think pushing 60s, 50s is old.
Okay, thank you for saying that. It makes me feel a lot better because when Keely said 04, I mean, I was a student at Texas State then. I don't want that to be considered old.
That's 05 is me, so I'm like, I got to go way past that because I'm not calling myself old.
All right, hey, amen. Well said. Yeah. Well said there, Gio. Well, hey, Gio, this has been great getting to know more about your story. I know you have a lot more season to go here with the outdoor championships. You have qualified for the NCAAs, is that right?
I've qualified for regionals so far.
Yes, so congratulations on that milestone. So a lot more to come for you outside of the Sunbelt Outdoor Meet coming up. There'll be the NCAAs and the prelims coming up as well. So good luck with that. And Gio, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, then again, Gio Walker, long jumper from Temple, Texas, our guest on the States Up podcast. For Gio, I'm Brian Friedman, as always, reminding you to keep your stakes up, and we'll see you next time.